Oh, chat. Oh, hey. I was like getting all into it, guys. And then technology, right? So I've got my iPad here and I get a message from the sound booth people who so graciously are like, turn your mic on. Thought I hit the button. Let me start over. Just kidding. So these missing pieces, right? We've talked about, again, foundational, Jesus. Then after that, we've talked about missing pieces of community. Some of us are missing this deep community in our lives. Some of us are missing the piece of worship. What are the things in our lives that are consuming our time and our energy or our focus? And we're missing kind of those sort of things. Growth, perhaps. We don't have a plan. We're saying, okay, God, I'm not hearing from you. I don't see you. I don't feel like I'm growing in my faith, but we've not put any sort of plan forward of how we're going to intend to do that. So we've talked about all of these missing pieces. This morning, I want to ask you this question, if you remember this. Can you remember getting your driver's license? And can you remember the process, or perhaps some of you are like, nope, not there yet. All right, so hang in there. You remember the process of getting your driver's license, the studying, the practicing, driver's ed, and then, you know, you go and you get your license. My birthday is in the middle of winter. I grew up in Michigan, and so I remember turning 16, and it was sort of a, I don't know, at least all of my friends growing up, it was like you went on that day. Like, you turned 16, and you're like, I'm going to wait in line for this place to open to go get my license. Like, that was, like, the thing. And I remember my 16th birthday, which happens to be January 2nd for me, and so it's wintertime, and I remember not being able to go on my birthday. And I was frustrated by that. I was like, no, we're fine. We can do this. Let's go. You know, it was like blizzard and I don't know, whatever. And so we didn't, and I think the next day. But I remember driver's ed for me, and I don't know how about for you guys. For me, driver's ed was through school. Like, so it was a part of, like, our summer. I remember through public school there growing up in Holland, Michigan, that we would just, that was something that was offered through the school during the summer. And so I went and we did that, and there were different sessions. I remember my fifth grade teacher was my driver's ed instructor, who was also the fifth grade teacher who kicked me off the safety patrol. And so, but we worked through that. And if you don't know what that is, or we can talk about that sometime. But we, so, you know, all the drivers we had, I remember we set up a driving course in one of the middle school parking lots. And that was obviously the most exciting part of driver's ed, not the, like, reading through the books and watching the terrible videos of cars getting hit by trains or whatever, all of that crazy stuff, if you remember some of those things. But rather, like, getting in the car, like an actual car, and turning the key and turning it on. And then they let you drive around this little course on the parking lot and the stop signs and the blinkers and all of these things. I remember all of that stuff. Now, for some people, maybe for some of you, it was a stressful thing. Driving, driver's ed, or maybe driving in general. I have members of my family, extended family, who just don't like to drive. And maybe aren't particularly the best at it, right? To come to drive in the big city of Indianapolis is super stressful, right? I mean, granted, maybe some of you living here, you're like, I hate it too. I don't like it. But for them, it's like, it causes them some anxiety and some stress. For some people, one of the most stressful things about driving is merging, right? Now, I don't know, some people are really bad at it. I find that in particular states over other states, they're even worse somehow. But merging is a thing for some people that really causes them, you know, a lot of stress. You've got some people who are kind of, you know, the confident driver, the confident merger who kind of is like, I'm just going to go. Pick my lane, pick my spot, and I just go. And kind of you get up to speed pretty quick. You're with the flow, and you're on your way, right? I love driving. I wouldn't say I'm an aggressive driver. I would say that I am a really good driver, right? I love driving 465 because it's like the Autobahn. You just go, and you just make your moves, and there's all these lanes. You know, some people stress out with three, four, five, six lanes or whatever, to me, I'm like, look at all of the opportunities. Look at all of the moves I can make now. And I'm like, pew, pew, all at the appropriate speeds and in a safe way, right? But some of, you know, so merging, it's you kind of just get up to speed, you pick your spot, you pick your lane, and you go for it. There's others who are maybe a little more hesitant or fearful, maybe is a word, where you kind of, you start to merge on, and you're like, you see the person kind of right there, and you're like, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. Like, I got to get in right here. The lane ends up here. I'm sorry. Like, you do the whole, like, thank you, sorry, right? You're kind of, I don't want to get in your way. Or others are maybe a little bit more unaware. Like, you just go. Like, I just get on, and everyone else should kind of merge with me. Like, what do you mean? There's other cars around? Like, I'm just going to go. I go and get on, and I just go. And even seeing, like, some of you pat your spouses and be like, hey, that sounds like the way you drive, honey. I want to talk about service this morning, and perhaps service is the missing piece for you. Maybe you would say, you know, Matt, we've gone through the series so far, and we've only got one more week to go on it, and you're like, okay, Jesus, got it, check, okay, done that. Worship, I'm okay with that. I feel like I got some community. I feel like even sometimes I'm growing in my faith. But, you know, service is that missing piece in my life. And so I want to lay out kind of three ideas as we kind of use this sort of driving kind of picture of what that might look like. Some of you, number one, is you just need to pick your spot and go. You just need to pick your spot and go, right? When you think about merging and driving all the things, you know, I remember growing up and doing the merging thing and talking about it in driver's ed, and the instruction was you got to find your spot, find your lane, and go. You know, you got to get up to speed, and you got to get in with the flow, and then you just go, right? Which is why, part of the reason why I love driving 465, because, you know, the flow of traffic is a nice brisk pace. And so you pick your spot and you go. With service, you got to pick your spot and you got to go, right? No one needs to give you permission to serve. And hear this first. When I talk about service, I don't mean exclusively within the life of Gateway in the church, okay? Service happens outside as well. Especially as your pastor, I want you to go and serve other places, do other things, go serve in our community. One, because there's great need. Two, because it's a great thing for us as a church, because then you start serving alongside somebody else who doesn't know Jesus. Now you're in a great spot. You start to go serve out in the community, and you start serving alongside somebody who has no home church. And one of their missing pieces is community. And you can say, hey, I go to this church. There seems to be a sense of community there. You might want to check it out. Maybe you could even come with me to church and we could explore that thing together. So when I say service, I mean, sure, in the life of Gateway, absolutely. We need people to make coffee and all of that great stuff that happens. We need people to greet and people to serve in Sunday school with our kids, especially as we're getting ready to split in the two, you know, the two classes, because we got averaging nearly 60 kids on Sunday morning. So you guys are all doing your thing right here in two services. There's 60 kids in these two rooms that are fourth grade and under. Bananas, right? That's exciting. That's an opportunity to serve. So it's here and it's there. So hear that. No one needs to give you permission to serve. You should not be sitting in there going, well, you know, I'm just waiting for someone to say, like, Matt, it's okay for you. You know what? You've been around long enough now. You now have permission to serve. No, Jesus already gave you permission. Actually, Jesus didn't really give you permission. He gave you a mandate. He said, now go and serve. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and Jesus is there with his disciples in, starting at verse 1, John writes, he says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Right? There's you got to pick your spot. You got to pick your lane. If you're thinking about service, pick your lane and go. Don't wait for somebody to give you permission. Know that Christ has already mandated you to serve. So my encouragement to you would be, as we see Jesus, I've always found this to be very fascinating in this passage. When you look at verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. There was a confidence that Jesus had knowing who he was in God. So if you're thinking about service and where can I serve, how can I serve, and you find yourself being that sort of hesitant driver, have the confidence to pick your spot and go. Pick your spot, go serve. Because you have confidence in the fact that Jesus has called you to serve. You don't need permission. You've already been given the mandate. The call has been put on you by Jesus to serve. Find your spot. Go serve. And do it with confidence. You got to find your lane and go. You just got to start. Second thing is this. That when you're thinking about service, you find your spot, you find your lane, and you step out and you go. Trust that you'll figure it out. Trust that you will figure it out. Right? If you find your spot, you're going to go. If you're saying, you know what, Matt, well, I just don't feel like I'm spiritual enough at this point in my faith journey to really serve. That's just silly. You gotta find your spot, you gotta go, and trust that you're gonna figure it out. God has called you to do this thing. He will call you and equip you to do it. Trust in him and trust that you'll figure it out. There's an equation I want you to think about if you can. Service over time equals significance, right? So the more service over time that we do, the more significance then that leads to, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of other people. So as you pick your lane and go, and trusting that you're going to figure it out, it comes with an attitude and a willingness to serve. Right here, Jesus, having the confidence of knowing who he was in God and the call to serve, having that confidence, he picked his lane, had a spot, went for it, and was figuring out as he went, as God led him, he was willing to serve. The disciples that Jesus was working with and hanging out in this upper room at this point, they were not professionals. They weren't perfect. They were broken. They were messy. And these were the ones that Jesus surrounded himself with to serve. I can think of the first accident that I was in probably 16, 17-ish. I always purchased my own vehicles and paid for my own insurance. And I had saved up money to buy this cool little VW, I think Golf was my first one. Little navy blue, 5-speed V-dub Golf, right? Love that thing. Had the crank open sunroof, right? I thought I was pretty hot stuff. And I remember I was leaving my cousin's subdivision, and there was a Pizza Hut delivery guy that was coming over a hill, and I saw him like coming from my left, and I saw him, and you know what got me? I hesitated. Came to the stop, and I made my, of course, my complete stop, and I saw him coming from the left, and I hesitated and what to do. And then I thought, well, I think I can make it. I didn't, and it totaled my car, and was a, you know, obviously a traumatic thing. And I can think back of how, and other times in my driving career, where hesitation either cost me or almost cost me. And I wonder if when we think about service, if hesitation isn't one of those things that we also kind of, I hear the call, God, I know you want me to serve, I want to serve, and I'm just, there's the hesitation of something. Well, we pick our spot and then trust that we'll figure it out. You know, there's no reason to have to hesitate. Don't wait to think, well, once I get to be more spiritual or once, you know what, first I want to figure it out, then I'll jump in. No, you trust you'll figure it out when you go as you pick your spot and go for it. What happens when we choose to serve is that we're reminded that there are needs around us. And then what happens as we figure it out is that when we start to serve one need, we become more aware of other needs that are happening. It changes sort of our perspective and our attitude. There may be things that you do, like you may say, you know what, I think this is my lane and I'm going to go for it. And you jump in and you're like, this is not my lane. This is not for me to serve. This is not my passion. This is not my gift. You may say, oh, cool, the church has a need for Sunday school teachers. I'm just going to pick my lane and go. And you go for 2 weeks and you go, that's not my lane. Right? You may say, I'm going to, you know what? Oh, we do work with the sharing place. All right, I'm going to pick that lane and I'm going to go. And you go experience that one or two times and go, that's not my lane. Or maybe there's some other way in which you're serving out in the community. Find that thing and you go for it and you give it a shot and you're like, it's not my thing. Then find another lane. Right? It doesn't mean that you didn't fail. It didn't mean like, oh, well, you're bad at serving. Oh, I guess I don't have to serve anymore. I tried it and it didn't really work. Wasn't my thing. No. You'll figure it out. Find another lane. Go for it. And last point is this. Get out of the parking lot. We see, especially certain seasons of the year, have the opportunity to encourage student drivers in our church parking lot, right? Parents bring their kids, they're driving the cars around the parking lot. We have a kind of a nice parking lot to get to try to drive and learn stuff. I always get a little bit nervous when they use one of my vehicles for like their parallel parking practice as it's parked out on the curb or whatever. But for some of us in our service, we've got to move out of the parking lot, right? Because the parking lot is a safe place. I mean, how many of us can think of when growing up, learning how to drive, somebody took us to some parking lot somewhere and we're like, okay. Learn the feel of the car, learn how to turn on blinkers, how to go in reverse. I remember I learned, the first car that I learned on was driving a stick shift. And so that was not only in a parking lot, but my dad was like, it's easier to engage if you go in to engage the gears and get the feel of the clutch and the gas if you go in reverse. So we started in a parking lot going in reverse, trying to learn the clutch and the gas. Because it was a safe place. Some of you are kind of sitting in the parking lot. You're like, the parking lot's pretty safe. When you're thinking about service and that missing piece of service in your life, you're like, it's pretty comfortable to just kind of sit here in the parking lot. But what happens when we do that is then as we become content to sit in the parking lot, then our focus is really just us. Later in that same chapter, John 13, after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, he starts talking in verse 12. He says, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is, in fact, what I am. Now that I, Jesus says, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, guess what he says? You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, Jesus says, you will be blessed if you do them. So here we have Jesus saying, get out of the parking lot. Serving moves us outside of ourselves. Service as an act of worship, as a part of our growing in our faith and our discipleship, provides blessing to other people and even to ourselves. Jesus says, if you do these things, guess what? You will be blessed. And I'm wondering if this morning, it may very well be time for you to pick your spot and to go. As you think about service in your life. I'm going to invite Andrew to come back up. We're going to get ready to, and then invite the ushers to come. I'm going to pray as we prepare to take the special relief offering this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks that you would be willing to use us to serve. We confess that there's a lot of times when we want to just sit in the parking lot. It is safe, it's comfortable, it's relatively easy, and Lord, you know that for some of us, we're afraid to step out. None of us like to be or to feel uncomfortable. And yet sometimes, service makes us feel perhaps a little uncomfortable. But that's okay. You've given us this mandate to serve. And so we ask that you might help us to find those places where we can serve and without hesitation, go for it. And then trust that your Spirit will guide us and lead us and that we'll figure it out. But first we have to trust you as we are willing, that we might be willing, really, to get out of the parking lot. Lord, we pray for this offering that we're about to receive. We pray for all of the lives, some that have been lost and will be lost, and millions that will be impacted by the storms that are happening all around us right now, really. And so we pray for these dollars and cents that we put in to these baskets. We give you thanks for an organization like the Ida Methodist Committee on Relief, for the work, hard work that they do, for the relief that they bring. We give you thanks for our opportunity to be a part of it. And pray that you would bless this gift and multiply it beyond anything we could have really hoped for or imagined. And we pray that you would also help us to be ready, willing, to pick a lane and go, because there's going to be plenty of opportunities to serve in the years to come with all of the rebuilding that's going to have to take place. And so we pray that you might use us.